This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Lauren Rubenstein is the longtime Canadian golf writer and author. Now, his latest book back in 2012 is Mo and Me. I have wanted to have Lauren on this show for years to talk about Mo Norman. It's a pleasure to welcome Lauren Rubenstein back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
You know, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fine down here in Florida, enjoying the winter down here.
Yeah, good for you. You deserve that. For the listener that might not be familiar with Mo Norman, who was Mo?
Well, Mo was just one of the most unusual people ever to strike a golf ball at the highest levels. He came up with a method all his own that really nobody has ever used, incorporated successfully. Elements of his game and his swing, they've tried. Tiger Woods himself said that only two players have ever truly owned their swings, Mo Norman and Ben Hogan. So that tells you how well he's thought of. And Mo was a Canadian. He died in 2004. He was 75 years old. And he just had a life in golf unlike anybody else, because he was so unusual. He had tremendous insecurities as a human being. And his game, the way he approached the game, he played very, very fast. He didn't like to be in the public eye. He was uncomfortable, particularly around adults. He was just, I was lucky enough to meet him when I was 13 years old growing up in Toronto, and spent a lot of time with him, introducing him at some clinics once he got more comfortable with people, played with him quite a bit, wrote this book about him a few years ago about my friendship with him over the years. And to me, somebody who's met just about everybody in the game in terms of players for the last 35, 40 years or so, I always tell people Mo is the most unusual and interesting person I've ever met in the game of golf because of the psychological liabilities that he had because of his very shy and introverted personality that didn't allow him to really succeed at the highest levels of the game. He just wasn't comfortable there, but at the same time had a unique way of playing the game that people even now are trying to study and, as I said before, maybe incorporate some elements into their own game.
But I think it needs to be said, Lauren, he was a good player.
He was a great player, yeah. He won all kinds. He won just about everything in Canada except for the Canadian Open. He won when there was a big Canadian tour. He won pretty much every provincial open across the country. He won 8 Canadian PGA Senior Championships. He won the Canadian PGA itself. He won the Canadian Amateur. There wasn't anything he didn't win in Canadian golf. He could really, really play at every level just below the PGA Tour, where he had a little difficulty with, fitting in, and he also wasn't that well accepted on the PGA Tour when he tried it for a couple of winters. But he played a couple of Masters, and the Canadian Amateur Champion used to get invited to the Masters back in the 50s or so, and he played a couple of the Masters. And wherever he went in the game, top players flocked around him at the Canadian Open every year, even when he was into his 60s and 70s. And he was showing up at the tournament in street shoes and no clubs. Eventually, players such as Vijay Singh, Nick Price, Paul Azinger, they would cajole him into coming onto the range, usually on the Tuesday of Canadian Open week, and ask him to hit a few golf balls. He didn't really want to because he said their clubs were like matchsticks and he wanted his clubs to feel like oak trees. There he is in his street shoes. But before you know it, they're just standing there getting mesmerized by his ability to control the flight of the golf ball to hit any shot he wants to wanted to with the style that he had. So, he could really, really play. I mean, he just had such control of the golf ball. It was really something to see.
We're talking with Lauren Rubenstein here on the Augusta Golf Show. Was the swing always unorthodox, Lauren, or was that something that he kind of organically grew into and learned more as he grew older?
Pretty much always that way. He did organically grow into it as he got older a little bit more, but in the sense that it became even more exaggerated. He worked with a teacher when he was growing up named Lloyd Tucker at Kitchener Rockaway, a public course in Kitchener, Ontario, about 70 miles west of Toronto. That's where he grew up. And Lloyd basically said to him, you know, he saw the flight of the golf ball. He said, don't try to change anything, Mo. And what Mo did was he just exaggerated it. He always had a very, very wide stance. He started with his club well behind the ball. He said, well, everybody wants you to take the club back low and slow, so why don't I just start it back there? But it's not like he gave a lot of conscious thought to it, but it's just what he felt comfortable doing. He had a stiff-armed swing. He stood far from the golf ball. Golf, the shaft never moved off plane, and he played golf by elevation. You know, okay, what do you want, first floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor? I'll get it any floor you want. And you'd see him do clinics like that. He would take a wedge and he'd hit it, as he said, okay, first floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor. and that's just the way he played all the time. And he would hit 800 balls a day. I mean, his hands were so blistered, so strong. When he shook your hand, you felt like he was going to take your hand right off. It was so strong, such a powerful grip. There were so many unusual. It was like the Fosbury flop in pole vaulting. He just did it in a way that was so different than anybody else did it.
You can see Mo these days. You can find him on YouTube. Just look for Mo Norman, M-O-E, Mo Norman, and it will pop up. Did he think, Lauren, that the teachers in the game were getting all of that wrong?
Well, you know, I mean, he got to know a lot of them, and there was a PGA teaching coaching summit down in New Orleans where, you know, he was supposed to attend, and they all had great respect for him, particularly Craig Shanklin, who got to know Mo very, very well. He teaches up at the LPGA headquarters up in Daytona. I would say it's fair to say, John, that he felt that they were getting away from what he thought of some of the basics of the game, really just, you know, that long and low, slow swing and swinging through the ball down your target line. That's who it always says, nobody swims through the ball anymore. Nobody swims through the ball. You know, he would repeat himself often in the way he talked. And he said, they're always hitting the ball. They're always hitting the ball. And so he felt that it's the way he swung it just made tremendous sense to him. And he didn't know why anybody would want to do it any different way at all. And you can see some of those things on YouTube where he does demonstrate a way of playing the game that nobody really was teaching. People have tried and analyzed his golf swing, but it's hard to do. You've got to, for one thing, you've got to be willing to stand up in front of people. Golf, I often say, is the most private game to play publicly. You've got to be willing to stand up in front of people and look so different. And I think that's not easy to do for most people. But that was just the way Mo played, and everybody thought, wow, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of logical sense the way he plays the game when you think about what the requirements of a fundamentally sound and repeating swing are.
I mentioned when we started that I have wanted to do this for years, but the catalyst for this was seeing a little blurb a couple of weeks ago that there was talk about a movie about Mo. Now you've been involved in some of those talks. Could you see a movie being made about his life?
Well, I could see a movie being made about his life, but, you know, there would it be a Hollywood movie, a movie with Grant that he didn't really have. You have to have some, you know, conflict in a movie, and he didn't have, there wasn't that much conflict in his life. Yes, between Mo and the golf authorities to a certain extent, but, you know, he didn't have much of a personal life. He had a few very close friends he trusted.
Was he married?
There was no women in his life.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where the drama would come from. It's just tough to write a screenplay, and people have tried that would be interesting enough for people. To golfers, yes. But for wider distribution, release, a more major film, I don't know. I hope it'll happen. But so far, there have been a few attempts, and I've seen nothing come to fruition yet.
You know, Lauren, you mention his idiosyncrasies, but from my perspective, although the swing is unorthodox, what has continued to be said when people talk about Mo Norman is, as you said, Tiger said, one of the greatest ball strikers ever. Do you think now, after his death, is he more remembered for the being kind of different, or is he more remembered for being a great ball striker?
It's a little bit of both, but happily it's shifting more into, as you imply, into him being a great ball striker, because, you know, people are with TrackMan and so much that's available right now. I mean, you could analyze what's going on in a golf swing to the utmost detail. And of course, you know, one thing that's obviously the most important pretty much is impact, and people study his impact position, and he had such club head lag, and his you know, he was driving through the ball so hard with his lower body that I think the respect for his golf swing is there, because, you know, the back in those days you needed to be more precise because of the equipment.
Yeah.
And Mo could hit all kinds of shots, and just about everybody who comes up, or so many, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of players who are into the golf swing and teachers, they've really studied Mo. So I think it's good. There's more and more respect for his swing, and less and less talk about his personality and those characteristics, although they remain fascinating, at least to me.
Lauren, thank you for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate that. Hopefully I see you soon. Thank you, sir.
You bet, John. All the best. Take care.